Hæ, þetta Ástildur frá Paskalatínun og þú ert að hlusta á Best Frequencies for...
Well, I tried to do a little station ID there, but I'm not running at a, not running on a full tank this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. We're back.
We're back.
We took a little break.
Better than ever.
Back and better than ever.
Well, older than ever. You just had a birthday.
Yes, I have just had a birthday. Thank you so much. You can, in lieu of flowers or gifts, you can donate to bff.fm/donate. Become a bestie today.
Yep, absolutely. And come to the gala of giving on Tuesday.
Yes, Giving Tuesday. We're having a gala
mm-hmm.
here at the Secret Alley, right?
Yes.
Yes. Go to BFF.fm to find out all about that. Polish your sequins and come have a gala.
Yes. Get your formal Converse ready.
Lee and I were just discussing what to close out the year with, and we might do another Netflix Christmas movie extravaganza, but mm-hmm. it's getting to the point where I can't keep track of which ones I've watched. They all have names like, well, I've been watching a lot of the Hallmark and Lifetime ones, and mm-hmm. they're all named like Ornaments for Christmas.
Or yeah.
Christmas. I think I watched one literally that was just called Christmas Cookies.
Yeah. Was that with Lacey Chabert?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, that was good.
I tend to try to avoid the Lacey Chabert and the Candace Cameron Bure. mm-hmm. We did watch one called like Thanking the Troops for Christmas or something.
Oh,
that
God.
Was like this insipid.
Yeah.
Jingoistic. I mean, they're all insipid, but yeah. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. That's for the future. today we're talking about two British shows that have Merry, Happy, Whatever.
Starring Dennis Quaid and his new plastic face.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
And
is that actually, that's like a series, right? Or is it a movie?
Oh, it is a sitcom. What? They can't do this to me this time of year. Anyway, I'm here for a Christmas night. But yeah, there's Let It Snow.
I think I watched that one, but I literally don't remember anything about it. It had that has Kiernan Shipka in it.
Yeah, Let It Snow is prominently placed on the Netflix website right next to that other Christmas movie, The Irishman.
So I know.
Anyway, but we're already way in the weeds here. Let's get back on track.
Well, I feel like I had something else to say about it. Anyway, yeah, so today we're talking about Showtime's Back to Life, mm-hmm. originally a BBC show.
Yes.
And the return of End of the Fucking World, one of our faves from 2017, came back for what I thought would be an unlikely second season, but money is not to be left on the table anymore. So, of course, there's a second season.
Yeah, and they really did right by it.
I agree. I was reluctant. I felt like that story kind of had an ending, and I thought the ambiguity of the ending was sort of, I don't know, important to the story, but whatever.
Yeah,
they did a good job. Should we start with that?
Sure.
I will admit that I watched most of it this morning, except I didn't have time to watch the last episode. So
it's good to have something to look forward to.
Yeah, but...
Do you want me to spoil the last episode for
Yeah,
you?
You can. Go ahead. It's not TV on the radio if we're not spoiling the show. So,
yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we come back and our star-crossed lovers have been separated and...
Still alive after being shot at the end of season one, which was the ambiguity that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It ends with... It's kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde type escapade. These two misanthropic teens find each other and have wacky adventures, including murder.
They kind of go on the land.
Yeah, things kind of escalate.
Murder.
Yeah, but of a terrible serial.
I was surprised to see that guy come back and fleshed out like in flashback this season, because goddamn, he's so creepy.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I don't think I had a grasp on like what the theme of the first season was necessarily, but I just feel like this season did like, it's just a really beautiful, compact, just this
economical.
Look, yeah, economical, exactly. Look at like unprocessed trauma and the way that like carries out through literal generations.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it did a lot really, really effectively to convey that. We talked last time about how, you know, the episodes range from like, I think 16 to 22 minutes in the first season. And it's similar for the second season. I think the longest episode is 24 minutes, which is episode 8, which you haven't seen yet. But it just really, it ended very poignantly and beautifully. These two kids have been separated and they are trying to ostensibly get on with their lives. And it ends with the girl, I can't remember her name.
Alyssa,
that's right. she has married this guy that she met at this like small town where she's living with her aunt and her mom. And she leaves him, but she and James decide that they can't be together. And he is utterly alone in the world. His dad, who is like his only champion, dies.
And he's carrying him around for the whole season. Yeah.
Dies at the beginning of the first episode. And so they, it ends with them basically just declaring their love for each other and her saying like, I need, you know, a lot of psychological help and I can't do anything physical. And he's like, that's fine. And he was severely wounded by being shot as, you know, realistically as that would happen. And he's not sure if he can perform.
Right.
Anyway.
I thought that was so well done and poignant. Like the show is, it's not fantastical at all, but it's a little bit, it feels a little fantastical just because it's these two like feral children, not really, but like this sort of like adventure aspect makes it feel a little bit divorced from reality. But then when they bring it back to something really visceral, like the fallout of having been shot and his recovery from that, I just thought it was really beautifully done.
Yeah. And I also think one of the things that this show does so well, like one of the things is they constantly run into like absolute, like the worst of humanity. Mm-hmm. Like they're constantly faced with that. So it's not just like having to face your past and deal with it. Yeah. But like there's a rapist guy in this season who also ends up dead. It's just like this kind of shell that you have to create to like make your way through the world, and then adding in being like horribly damaged from all this like trauma that you've had to deal with all your life. Like his name is James, right?
Yeah.
James like never fit in, and he, you know, he burned himself in season one.
Right.
Just to try to feel something. And
He thinks he's it. When we start the show in season one, he identifies as a psychopath or a sociopath. And that's sort of his arc in season one, is her inspiring him to understand that he's a human being and actually does have feelings. But he was just suppressing his feelings after having witnessed his mother kill herself.
Yeah.
I also loved we hear both of their internal monologues.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really artfully done. The way like she acts very teenagery and is like she actively pushes people away with her unpleasantness. And I love hearing her saying like internally, I don't know why I say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like it's really well done.
Yeah.
And I totally like I totally felt the way they both like are like longing for each other and they clearly love each other. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing in between them that they can't I don't know. It's like there's this elephant in the room that they can't process, and you can hear the ways in which they sort of dance around this like, trauma.
Yeah. I thought the second season was a lot more explicit in talking about its themes. And they did part of that by introducing a third character.
Yes.
It opens with Bonnie, who it turns out had been in a relationship with that serial rapist murderer or whatever he was, terrible, creepy, horrible guy. But she sets out for vengeance to kill James and Alyssa because they've killed the person who she thinks loves her. And it starts, you see her childhood trauma of her mother like treating her terribly, and and like love to her means something negative, like always. I don't know. I thought it was a lot more explicit and just like actually stating like the ways in which these people were damaged this time. And Alyssa and James actually end up like confronting their own trauma through having to confront hers. It ends where she is so broken that she's about to like kill herself. And they save her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't remember what exactly the line is, but it's like, if you're loved the wrong way, like it breaks you. Yeah. Like you don't you don't know how to seek that out then. And that's why you're drawn to this, like, literal, like, serial rapist. If not murderer. Was the intention that he had murdered all those girls that he had the videos of?
I don't remember. The video, like, the photos they showed were so, like, gruesome and horrific. But I think, I don't know if he was a murderer or not.
I don't know, remember. Because you did see that one girl leaving his house after being raped by him, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think he was a serial rapist. But yeah. How great was Bonnie?
Bonnie was amazing.
I'm sorry, I literally don't remember any of the actors' names, so we're just going to call them by their characters' names. But she was so intense.
Yeah.
And, like, not a huge range of facial expressions, mm-hmm. but, like, she really, like, just a great face.
Yeah.
I love the detail of her always drinking with two hands. weird and, like,
little kiddish.
Exactly. But, also very menacing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
her wardrobe was interesting. She was like, she was dressed like a little kid with her, like, her backpack and, and like kind of a school girly looking outfit. Great choices.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, a great show. So Alyssa gets married partway through the season and is in her wedding dress for many of the episodes.
Yeah.
And then James, I was trying to figure out what to make of the fact that he was wearing a suit. It feels like they just wanted this aesthetic choice of them, like, looking like they were runaways from a wedding.
Yeah, I think there's that, but it was the suit that he wore to his dad's funeral, which he has not changed out of.
I just mean in a broader sense.
Oh, like, yeah.
The show feels kind of Tarantino-ish, mm-hmm.
You
know, the sort of violent sprees of violence. I would say it's, you know, more tender than your average Tarantino story, but like the surf music and the suits mm-hmm. and, like, it's has that sort of like Bonnie and Clyde, like you said. But
yeah, the music was really great. I love the second season. Like, every episode was really beautiful, and it had, you talked about how it's like, it's not really fantastical, but this much of the season was set in, like, this super lush wooded, like, dimly lit Twin Peaks-esque mm-hmm. vibe, which did definitely give it a very it feels sort of fantastical, and at its core is just about, like I said, unprocessed trauma, definitely. Yeah. And how that, you know, Alyssa was saying that, like, her mom fell apart and her mom wasn't able to model.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom wasn't able to be there for her. And James always felt separated. And then you see his dad after he's released, he doesn't actually go to prison, but, like, after his court case, his dad tries to open up to him and tell him, like, he's proud of him and he loves him and all these things that were kind of withheld because his dad was super damaged too from the mom's suicide, and mm-hmm. then his dad dies, and it's this, like, really tender, it's definitely, like, tender and open-hearted, but about how, like, you have to change to become better. Like, it doesn't, you can't just passively, like, ignore things.
Yeah,
the last episode is Alyssa going back to the guy's house to confront
her husband.
The murderer. Going back to his house, basically to be in her body, as she says. She said that she, like, hasn't been in her body in a long time, and it's as a result of, like, that attack. It was just really beautifully done. Like, they have a reunion at the house, and because James is frantically searching for her, thinking that she has killed herself. It was just really beautiful. And it ends with them overlooking this, like, gorgeous valley where Alyssa's like, you should have sprinkled your dad here instead of under her train trestle or whatever. And they just, you know, these two people are never going to be what anybody would consider normal, but it's about the, like, importance of finding someone who can open that up in you.
That's sweet. Yeah, it's a very hopeful show.
It is. It really is.
It's so great. They set up this loneliness, this lonely world. Mm-hmm. Like, they're constantly, like, in restaurants and in pharmacies and stuff. They're the only people there, and it feels like it almost has a zombie apocalypse feel to it. I love that. They're also all such good actors.
Oh, so
Alyssa's
good.
Alyssa's so just great. Like the way she uses her voice, yeah. you can feel her mood like mm-hmm. souring the way, yeah, yeah, it's just, she's great.
Yeah, she, do you know that actress is 27?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a shock.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a teenager. Yeah, and James, Alex Lawther, I remember his name because one of my coworkers told me that I look like him.
Oh, so. Which is a high compliment.
They're... I mean, I do love him. I love his little face, but I don't know if that's...
I don't see
I don't
it,
know if I want to face the fact that I have that face.
You don't have that face, but... but yeah, they're... I just... Yeah, I think they did a really great job at, yeah, leaving it with this, like, utter message of, like, hopefulness and, yeah.
All right.
I'm into it.
Yeah. If you guys have thoughts on that show or anything else you want to share with us, your Thanksgiving leftover sandwich recipes, you can tweet at us. We're at BFF TV on the radio on Twitter. Please share your thoughts. I guess let's go to a song, and then when we come back, we can talk, I don't know, more about that show. We can also move on to Back to Life. I can't keep that the name of that show in my head for some reason. But let's see. Let's do Graham Coxon is, I don't know what you'd call him, this music director. He did mm-hmm. a lot of the music for End of the Fucking World, and yeah, it's great. Let's do this one. All right, we'll be
Jessica
back in a minute.
Barden plays Alyssa.
I'm really good at this, you guys. Also, my computer's being a real bitch this weekend. I think it might be time for a new MacBook. Although I do enjoy the little spinny rainbow. It's just
yeah,
so hypnotic.
Nice. Yeah. Jessica Barden plays Alyssa, as I said.
Right.
And yeah, she's 27 and Alex Lawther is 24.
24. He looks all of 19. All right. Stay tuned.
Meaner than the sea, she's the only one I am afraid of. Wiser than the trees, she's the only one I ever dream of. Than the sea, she's the only one I am afraid of. Wiser than the trees, she's the only one I ever dream of. Mina, you're the one. Wiser, you're the one.
And we're back. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like we were gone very long, but just in case you're, if you're just joining us, you're listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM with Leah and Jessica in the morning. That was Graham Coxon with Meaner Than the Sea, which I like that song.
Yeah. Yeah. The soundtrack alone really did add so great. Much to this. Yeah. This season.
And it's amazing how many songs they like cram into mm-hmm. every 19-minute episode.
Yep.
But leaving that for a moment, what did you think about Back to Life?
So I thought I liked it.
I liked it too.
I thought that it was, it kind of like ties into that same
mm-hmm.
like
yeah, I was, there was a lot of similarities.
Unprocessed trauma.
So Back to Life starts with Miri getting out yeah. of prison after mm-hmm. 18 years. And I think they keep it a little bit murky for the first few episodes
yeah.
why she went to prison. But she went to prison for murder.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the show, you find out it was actually one of her friends
yeah.
that she murdered. But yeah, it's about her getting back to her life and cutting
moving
her
back
own
in
bangs
with her
parents. As a as a metaphor for reinvention. Speaking of unprocessed trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Word bangs. Sends a cold shiver down my spine.
But yeah, there's the having killed someone and living with the fallout of that. Her best friend is the same woman who played Alyssa's mom in End of the Fucking World.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. I didn't even, she's so spiffed up in Back to Life that I didn't.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that. Yeah, I thought that the show was really sort of endearing mm-hmm. in its portrayal of this woman who has had her life on hold, basically. Like, she mm-hmm. essentially comes back as an 18-year-old, and she's a full-grown woman who somehow has gone through, like, this terrible ordeal mm-hmm. and is still, like, optimistic and hopeful about getting her life back, but in also, like, a very stilted way. Like, it's mm-hmm. there's a lot that's... She moves back in with her parents to, like, a tiny town in Britain where nobody will ever let her forget, you know, that this is who she is. And that's absolutely how it would be. Like, you would be... People would throw fucking bricks through your window. Like, you would be shunned. People would be writing terrible things on your wall. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, like, the ultimate message of the show was, like, we all have shit that we're dealing with. Like, I like that there was no... One of the things I really liked about this show was that there was no, like, I've served my debt to society. You know, like, that wasn't the examination. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about, like, whether doing something bad makes you inherently a bad person. Like, it's clear that Mary's not a bad person. And it sort of had, like, a real nihilistic bent where at mm-hmm. the end she's like, none of this needed to happen. Like, none of it did.
Yeah.
Because it slowly gets revealed that, it was her friend that she had killed and she fell from the cliff, right?
Yeah, they got into a fight. Like, Miri didn't even understand why her friend was so upset. And she bit her. And I think the struggle just ended up, she fell off a cliff. And it was all based on, like, not a misunderstanding, but a lie her friend, their other friend had told. I don't know if I'd call it nihilistic, but that's, like, it's just such a shitty thing that didn't have to happen.
And it's like they've all lost out on that time.
Yeah,
like, Miri's the one who, like, did the time, but mm-hmm. everybody lost out on that time.
Yeah, it did a great job of showing how her parents, like, her mom basically said, like, I lost that time too.
Yeah,
like, it ruined all of their lives essentially. But and yet it was not like this downer of a
bleak
show. It was very funny. Like, it had some great lighthearted moments. Like, I loved all the characters.
Yeah,
his dad was so funny. Oh, the hot dogs or the fish
chip shop
guy. Yeah. Oh my god, he was so funny. Yeah, I love that guy. Again, don't know anyone's name.
He blamed her for burning down his
I didn't see that coming.
For the insurance money, and then just confessed.
Yeah.
Nope, it was me, sorry. Yeah. I did it for the insurance money. Like, he was just this guileless, like, well, everybody deserves a second chance.
Yeah. I love how the town hall devolved into, like, everyone revealing who gave who chlamydia.
Yes. And you know what? Like, that is how those small towns are. Everyone does get chlamydia from the guy that everybody hates. Because you think you're better than Hull, but you're not.
Well, now you know.
But, yeah, I thought it was... I think it did some really... Like, it did stuff very well. So you see her being picked up from prison by her parents, going back to her childhood bedroom,
mm-hmm.
looking on the wall and taking down the Prince poster, the David Bowie poster. Yes. Last one standing is Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
Like, George Michael poster was gone. Like, and scenes like that are just really, like, an inventive way of showing, like, the, you know, like, the person you are is dead. Like, all these people are dead.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it did a lot. It also had, like, that creepy, weirdo,
Oh, yeah.
Weird Norwegian or whatever he was. Like,
there's a character who it seems like he's a detective mm-hmm. or something, and he's snooping around. Mm-hmm. But what it turns out he's just like trying to put together a podcast or something.
Yeah, he's just like a weird, fucking yeah, like breaking in, not breaking into people's sneaking homes, into her but house. Like sneaking into her house and like, yeah, trying to. Yeah, put all this together and it all seems kind of menacing. And then in the end, he's just like, well, this is my theory. And she's like, no, your theory's wrong. And then he's like, oh, okay. Well, like, and his book with all his theories is just like pictures of people like drawn stick figures having sex. Like it was, yeah, there's a lot. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, just different, which I always appreciate as I return to the bomb that is every single Netflix holiday movie that's the exact same. But I do appreciate somebody with a voice and like something mm-hmm. distinct to say. And I feel that both of these shows do that without, without batting you over the head about it. And I think that like her sweet, like just sense of optimism mm-hmm. about the world, like, again, in the face of like people constantly doing terrible things to you, like her desire to just like get on with it is really like admirable and nice. What did you think about her relationship with her neighbor?
I loved it. I loved mm-hmm. the neighbor. That was interesting too. Like,
yeah,
he had an unusual story. Like his wife had dementia.
Yeah,
and she was, I guess, quite a bit older than he is, but. Yeah, I love that guy. Another mm-hmm. actor whose name I don't
know. Billy.
Billy.
Billy. Mailing poop to.
Yeah. You know, you get old, you start doing whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, if a man brought me ice cream when I was feeling down, I'd probably fall in love with him too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's kind of one of those, like, again, it was just kind of summed up by the two of them sitting on the beach. And she was like, I feel like I'm just like waiting for my life to begin and nobody's letting me do that. And he's like, this is it. Like, we're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
This is it. But yeah, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I mean, also, I think that the prison system, I don't mean to generalize, but I feel like the carceral state mm-hmm. In America is probably harder, shittier time than you're doing in other countries. But
that's my
sense.
Guess, yeah, yeah. I don't know what British prison's like. I'm sure it's not great. What was I gonna say? Oh, let's get to the main event. If you return to your, you know, 18-year-old self's bedroom, what posters would be?
Okay, well, we have 22 minutes left, so that's about 10 seconds for each of my, like, 222 take that poster. So, it would be all take that poster.
I'll take that.
Yeah. So, knock on wood, none of them are dead yet.
That's good.
Although they're just dead to the band, really. Yeah. Robbie and Jason. R.I.P. R.I.P.
I would have used my one jailhouse phone call to ask my mom to take down my Sugar Ray poster so no one ever saw that. So, who would be left? Radiohead, just a shirtless Damon Albarn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. cheesecake
that stands
pictures
up.
Of him, but Damon Albarn and a wife beater probably.
That holds up.
That's something you could be fine.
Yeah, I would come back to the welcoming embrace of Damon Albarn shirtless.
I probably did have a Jamie Oliver picture up too. I love Jamie Oliver.
Speaking of Mark McGrath, did you see the viral video of him breaking up with a guy for Cheyenne? I can't remember the guy's name. It is
doing what?
The highest form of art that I have ever seen.
I'm unclear on what happened.
So there's a site called Cameo that you can, you know, pay.
Someone bought Mark McGrath to dump their partner.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She really loves you, but she cares about you a lot, dude. But and he starts it off by saying, "Hi, it's Mark McGrath from the band Sugar Ray. Off the charts, but still in your hearts." It is, oh, man. It is art, and we will tweet it out after the show.
That's great. I feel like my love for Mark McGrath is vindicated because it was always kind of a matter of shame for me.
he was Cheyenne is dumping her husband or her long distance boyfriend because the long distance thing isn't working out for her, dude. But he's doing his thesis, and he's like, so best of luck in your thesis. And then he's, like, throwing shade at Cheyenne. He's like, well, Cheyenne, like, harsh time to break up with him. And then he says to the guy, I think the guy's name was Brett. And then he says, like, hopefully we can, like, you know, laugh about this one day, maybe backstage at one of my shows, share a beer. Maybe all three of us can share a beer. And it truly, this thing goes on for so long that at the end I was like, so the only way this ends is with Cheyenne and Attell walking behind him, right? Like, where he's like, was that good, babe? Like, and that doesn't happen. It's just a straight up Mark McGrath dumping.
So what cameo level celebrity would you get to break up with?
I haven't checked lately.
Carrot Top.
But Tori Spelling was doing greetings for $50, and I rue the day that I did not throw my $50 at Tori Spelling. I don't know if she's still on Cameo now that she has, she's on TV again.
Skyrocketed back to fame.
Skyrocketed back to mediocrity with the Fox reboot of Beverly Hills 90210. I don't know. Who would you? It's got to be like, I don't know. It's got to be Two Chainz.
Two Chainz?
Is that?
Chingy. I want Chingy to break up with my husband for me.
All love, dude. All love. Or T-Pain. T-Pain would be a good person.
T-Pain would be great.
Just have him auto-tune the
breakup. Oh my God, Lil Jon. Do you think he's on Cameo?
Probably.
I can't afford Lil Jon, I'm sure.
I don't know. Mark McGrath is yours for $100.
Should we just spend the next few minutes looking up
out of the charts, but still in your heart?
Is there a Cameo app?
There must be. There must be.
Hold, please.
Yeah, but it was hilarious. I'll have to find it and we'll tweet it out.
Okay.
Because it is truly the highest form of art that any of us are operating at. And it would be an honor to be broken up with by Mr. Mark McGrath.
I would not even be mad. Ray.
And I'm 100% sure that if that dude ever did buy a ticket to the state fair where Sugar Ray is playing, that they would be able to, you know, have a beer behind the tilt-a-wheel.
Exactly.
Beyond the Tilt-A-Whirl, which is the backstage. but it was hilarious.
Cool.
I also I loved her dad in the show, to get back to the show a minute.
I loved her caseworker who's
completely checked out.
Just like, high as a kite, shopping for snacks. What's your favorite kind of noodle?
Yeah. It was really, really funny.
It
was also very disturbing. The whole sex plot with her parents was, it turns out her mom has been sleeping with her like high school boyfriend who has given the whole town chlamydia.
Yeah.
There's like I'm going to say graphic scene of her mother trying to fellate her father.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, my reaction to these things is always like, oh, good for them. Ugh. Showing older people be sexual.
Nope.
But yeah, deep down, like,
no, thank you.
This.
No.
I mean, he didn't want it either.
Yeah.
No one was happy in that scene.
Yeah. No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then even worse than that was like the saucily charged, he beats the shit out of that guy, and then
he's a Viking.
He feels all like virile and like powerful, and like they're like, when he said like, you're mine, and she said, I know I am, and it was like, ugh, so obvious they were gonna like bone. Gross. I mean, her mother's a beautiful woman, but
yeah, they're both very handsome older people, but I just don't need to
engaging in
fornication.
Yeah.
Do British people really pronounce it migraine?
I don't know.
Never heard that.
I cannot comment on that, but I will say that it took a long time. I think it was just my personal affectation. I was not able to say antibiotics for a long time. I used to say antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
Antibiotics. So it took a lot of me. Internal work, looking in words and really having to just think about it before I pronounce
one
the
of
word.
The many long hours you spent dispensing with your natural accent. Yeah,
absolutely, yes. Yeah. Antibiotics was the first to go.
You should bring that back.
Antibiotics.
I loved how the mom texted in all caps, which was very, very funny.
Yeah.
I LOL'd at Miri confusing the human centipede with the hungry, hungry caterpillar.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was, I think, a couple instances of caterpillar imagery. Oh, the dad has caterpillars are eating his tomato plants.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need that one explained to me, so cheers to me. I saw in the credits the guy who plays Nathan, the chip shop guy. His name, mm-hmm. he's credited as Liam Williams.
Okay.
So presumably his name is William Williams.
Ew.
Liam is short for William, right?
Not always. It
oh,
can
really?
Just be its own name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I take it back. Liam Williams. You're fine.
Still, though. I mean, a little much.
I always think the name Liam is a little much.
I guess Bill it's Williams like, would be worse, but.
Yeah.
Because that really would be William Williams. Huh. You had one name you couldn't use, guys. One. You'd need to be better than this.
Yeah, what else?
What do you think is going to happen to Mary in the rest of her life? Do you think she's going to live with her parents forever until she inherits that house and then, you know?
Do you think she's going to go back to work at the chip shop?
No, the chip shop is losing franchise. That is.
I think the show was picked up for a second season, so presumably we'll find out.
I don't feel like I needed more.
Yeah, I don't either. It's so weird because it was completely consumable, short episodes.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny and engaging.
Yeah.
And
Showtime released the whole thing on demand at once. So
oh, did
I didn't
they?
Have to wait week to week, which, you know, ugh, the horror.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I find myself saying this more and more, even though this show was not necessarily like, I felt as self-contained as the mm-hmm. first season of End of the Fucking World. I was still just like, I don't know if I need more. And I wonder if that's just a product of being completely fucking overwhelmed by television
yeah.
now.
I haven't even gone near Apple Plus.
I haven't either. I mean, on top of the fact that I can't fathom paying for another streaming service on top of the ones that I already pay for. Do I need another source of content in my life?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't keep up with any of the shit that I have now.
Yeah.
And it also feels like it's this river that keeps moving. And if I miss something, like it's in the annals of
yeah,
my mind, I'm not going
to
get back to
in.
It.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, pick a show from 2017 that I felt like I should have watched and go back to it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
I know. That's my thing, too.
And so what? Exactly. I just end up watching fucking Hallmark Christmas movies
yep.
that I fall asleep three
it's
quarters
like
the of the way through.
The little consumer they want us to be.
And then the next day I'm like, which one was I watching? They're all the same. I can't remember if I was watching like Christmas Ornaments or Christmas Ribbons.
Yeah.
They star half all the same people.
Holiday Ornaments or Christmas Ornaments.
Yeah. I watched one with Tom Everett Scott.
I love Tom Everett.
He was great. He's so endearing. All he does is just like stare wide-eyed. And
yeah, that's his entire brand.
But yeah.
Speaking of
really
Tom Everett
bad.
Scott, have you seen season 2 of I'm Sorry?
I have not.
What? See, that's easy to watch and hilarious.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
I moved on.
So you know what's funny is we were talking about this when we were in Canada recently.
Mm-hmm.
Jess and I went to Canada. It was delightful. Things you've heard about Canada.
Oh my God. Yeah,
are
let's
true,
talk about Canada.
You guys.
Even though they dump all those Christmas movies on us. I forgive
yeah.
you, Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, so the reason I brought that up is because I read somebody talking about Slings and Arrows, which is one of those
mm-hmm.
shows that had like 3 critically acclaimed seasons in like 2009, 2010, 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Currently available on Acorn, streaming for the very first time. So I was like, okay, this is fine. Maybe I need, like, this might fill the low stakes, calming,
yeah, yeah.
like, you know, hole in my heart. And I went back and watched the first 2 episodes of Slings and Arrows.
Uh-huh.
And it is completely unwatchable, physically unwatchable.
How
it is
so?
Like it is a VCR recording like being shown through a Nokia phone screen. Like
it's just so low def. You can't look at it.
So low def that it's impossible for me to watch.
That's so funny.
I'm like, there's a teen Rachel McAdams that I cannot make out. Like it's truly, I don't know how it's even legal for them to do that. Like I would liken it to that lady who fucked up the restoration of I'm like, maybe that's Gia Tolentino, or not Gia. I'm Gia thinking about that. Gia Tolentino loves that picture of the lady who messed up the restoration. It's in her book jacket cover. Gia Tolentino, Trick Mirror, would highly recommend it if you haven't read it yet. So good. We're really staying focused, laser-like focus here today. But I just, that's the thing. I'm like, I can't go back to the past now because it's all terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, that's another thing. It's like when we didn't have that many choices, you didn't abandon TV shows for such superficial reasons because all you fucking had was Melrose Place reboot.
Yep. No shade.
Crossing Jordan. There was a time in my life where I only got NBC. Like I had bunny ears and that's the only channel that came in, and I found myself watching Crossing Jordan probably on Friday nights or something, which is really an indictment of me and not. That was the worst.
Amy Brenner, was it? Or was she the
judge
lady? I don't
remember.
Judge lady.
Her frosty lipstick. And anyway, let's not talk about Crossing
Jordan.
That
was a wild time.
Now or ever.
Did that have Cagney and Lacey in it?
No.
One of the ladies from Cagney and Lacey?
Oh, I don't know.
Tyne Daly. That's who I'm thinking of.
I don't know. Anyway, Crossing Jordan, check it out. Streaming on Acorn TV right now.
In low, ultra, ultra low.
That show's probably still on somewhere. Some time slot that only 85-year-olds watch TV.
Mm-hmm. On one of those UPN channels.
Yeah.
Very far up the dial.
Yeah. Canada, what'd you think?
I was a fan.
I loved it.
Canada was great. Poutine, it's where it's at.
Yeah.
Why don't we have poutine and why don't we have ketchup chips? Why?
Leah introduced me to ketchup chips and my life, it's different now.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's, yeah.
I seriously, like, maybe 2 days after we got back, I woke up and my first thought was, like, I need poutine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
What do you think the, like, the ROI has got to be fine on poutine, right? It's not that hard to make, right?
Potatoes and, well.
Gravy and then cheese curds.
Where are you thinking of making it?
I mean, sure. That's an option. Yeah, it's great. Vancouver was delightful.
Yeah, I loved it. There's no Uber or Lyft there, and it just really feels less chaotic in the streets, you know?
Yeah. Like, you can walk outside and just get a taxi.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Leveraging older technology to do to do what we need done.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, anything else to say?
I got nothing.
What else are you watching?
Truly, I don't have anything else. I find myself unable to, you know, this is a very busy time of year. There's a lot of stuff going on. But I find myself, I hear about things and I'm like, oh, I should try that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just uninspired by everything right now.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching anything. I mean, Glow, which I loved. I haven't even
gone back to that.
No, I haven't finished the third season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't even gone back to that.
Why? How far did you get?
3 episodes in, I think.
Oh, okay. I loved it.
You finished the whole season?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I think I only made it 3 episodes in. I haven't even gone back to that. I mean, part of my problem, too, is that we have one TV set. So my husband and I generally, like,
have to agree
on
have to get to the lowest common denominator of what you're willing to
we
watch.
We have to agree, he doesn't. He's not into Glow and doesn't want to see it. So then I have to like watch it on my computer, which is fine. But then we're not spending quality time. So. Whatever.
Let's get Mark McGrath on.
Yes. Just Leah kidding. Would like you to know that she's going to be spending some time with her computer for the next few weeks. It's not personal. Nothing but love for you. Maybe we can all share a beer backstage at the fair.
That's
really something.
Idea.
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
Literally nothing.
I haven't even watched The King, starring
Timothy Chalamet.
Baby snack, Timothy Chalamet.
Baby snack. neck.
Yeah.
That sounds fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a movie?
Or yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Should we talk about that next week?
Sure, we could.
Something digestible.
We absolutely could.
Because Lord knows I don't have enough time between all the Hallmark movies I watch.
Truly.
So next or sometime, you were talking about doing a best of the decade.
Yeah. So we always do our best of the year, which is an episode that I really like and is always a time where I'm like, I don't have enough time to talk about all these things. But I also think we should do a best of the decade since we're moving into a new decade.
Can't believe
so, if you guys have list that you would like to put together of your top 10 for the tens, we would love to see what you guys have enjoyed. And then we're going to do our annual top 5 shows for 2019. And feel free to, our email address is the same as our Twitter handle, which is at BFF, or Twitter is at BFF TV on the radio, and Gmail is BFF TV on the radio at Gmail. We'd love your submissions and we would like to argue about them on the air.
I'm already like anxious about what I'm going to forget.
Yeah.
10 years is a lot of TV to go back to. Was Beverly Hills 90210 in this decade?
The reboot?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the reboot was.
Well, it's also.
Where was it?
It's also the first 3 seasons of Mad Men aired before 2010, and the first 2 seasons
of Breaking
Bad were pre-2010.
Should we do parameters? Does it have to have started this decade?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's the best shows we've seen this decade.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think it disqualifies them, but we can only judge on those last 3 seasons then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm, worried about what I'm going to forget.
Sons of Anarchy.
R.I.P. Sons of Anarchy. Ugh.
It's Shakespeare, you guys.
Yeah. Hamlet on bikes. Did not turn out to be that.
Are we going to talk about the worst shows of the decade, too?
Oh, there's our next 3 shows right there.
All right.
I feel like, again, I would have... Maybe we'll need to release, like, a bonus app.
Oh, do, like, a Patreon bonus episode?
Yeah, for...
If you guys haven't subscribed to our Patreon yet, please do that. I'm just kidding. We don't.
If somebody could set up a Patreon, that'd be great.
Someone could tell us, how to set up a Patreon so we can finally become Patreon layabouts like we were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. End of the fucking world. Recommend.
Highly recommend. I think that for a show that I thought did not warrant or need a second season, they really, really elevated it, and I thought that the second season was like very touching and like clear about its purpose.
Yeah.
And I think it could have been one of those things that they just like rushed out and could have really like been terrible.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, second season of 13 Reasons Why. and they, I think they like absolutely as a whole, it completely works. The first season was based on a graphic novel, actually. And I think as a whole, it absolutely works and pulls it together in a very satisfying way.
Do you think there'll be a third season?
I hope not. I mean, I really don't. You know, I feel like the themes that they left it on were like about hope and progress and all that. And like, I don't need to see that played out with James working as an insurance agent and her like
going to
working
at a
cafe. Like, it's fine. Like, we get it. We're all living the boring reality of that. Like, I'm looking for the bigger emotions.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, sometimes I feel like if you do one perfect season, you know, you call it a limited series and then that's fine. Once you've done a second season, it feels odder to abandon it if it's still, you know, popular and good. But, yeah, I don't really – well, I don't see room for a third season, but I didn't see room for a second season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we were talking about it. So
absolutely. And I thought they did a really great job with it. But yeah. I just, I don't want to see them become parents and send their kids out into the fucked up world where they're going to meet nothing but like rapists and terrible people.
Yeah. Back to Life. Do you recommend it?
I do recommend Back to Life. Yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit and I found it like really, really easily digestible. And I thought it was like sweet and touching without, you know, changing my life.
Yeah.
All right. Which, fine. That's the most I can, you know, ask for. Do you recommend poutine, Jess?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's unreservedly.
Like, it just feels crazy that we don't have it here.
Yeah,
it's
really
right
does.
Up there in Canada. 2-hour flight. Just yeah. give it to me. Yeah. It's not like something where it's like, oh, the air isn't right to make cheese curds in California. It's fine. Just
yeah,
make it.
Why can't some enterprising Canadian just like start a poutine thing here?
Yeah.
If any of you have leads on where to get good poutine, definitely
I've
send them.
I've googled it since getting back, and it's
this is
you
a
can't
poutine
really
show
find
now
it in San Francisco.
This is a poutine show now.
There's like
only.
The occasional pop up now and then, but I
where
don't think anyone? Not, I mean, I remember having it at Bender's like 5 years ago, but they
but
don't,
it probably
those
wasn't as good though.
Back. I don't remember I liking had, it as much as the one we
yeah,
had.
Yeah, I had poutine a few years ago at the Fairmont in Sonoma, and it was like. You know, too fancied up. You just need your
right.
poutine to be basic.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want fucking pork belly or
that. It was, yeah, it was like braised pulled pork or something.
Gross.
It tasted fine, but it just wasn't like your, you know, $7 cheap, fast.
Yeah. Everyone talks about
poutine.
How expensive Vancouver is, but go there from San Francisco
yeah.
and it feels.
Seems fine.
Cheap.
Plus, the exchange rate is like,
yeah.
you know, 75 cents.
Exactly. Drinks there are like 10 Canadian dollars, which
mm-hmm.
good luck finding a. A drink for any Canadian dollars in San Francisco. all right, I guess we'll end it there. The board appears to have gone silent. Okay, I'm going to try to do this on another. Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving weekend, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in, and we will, for realsies, be back next week, maybe with a top five list, maybe with some Hallmark movie chat. So we didn't get to enough of that today.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio and have a great Sunday.
I like yep. potato, wanna mash my potato, wanna mash your potato with me. I like potatoes, wanna mash your potatoes, will you mash my potatoes for me? I like potatoes, gonna mash your potatoes, if you don't like my masher, then I'll see you later. I like potatoes, won't you mash your potatoes with me? Potato, wanna mash my potatoes, won't you mash your potatoes with me? I like potatoes, wanna mash your potatoes, will you mash my potatoes for me? I like potatoes, gonna mash your potatoes, if you don't like my masher, then I'll see you later. I like potatoes, won't you mash your potatoes with me? M-A-C-H-P-O-T-A-T-O.
Didn't mean to make you cry. The anger wells up in your eyes. I am the man I used to despise. I am a terrible woman. Have a happy, have a simple life. Have all your friends right by your side during all of your most precious times. I'm sorry, but I have to say goodbye. I'm just not ready. Make me a terrible woman. Truth be told, I liked you fine from the start, but clear as day.